So what has the development process been like to get this bad boy over to next generation consoles?
It's taken a while. So Neverwinter was a game that Cryptic Studios also made. We went to Xbox last year and PlayStation 4 this past summer. And so they kind of paved the way for us to make a smoother transition onto consoles. We had to go through and adjust the game to make sure it displayed as well as possible on console. So we went through and updated a lot of the graphics. So we went through and increased our lighting engine, added the light probes, we added clustered forward rendering, we added deferred rendering, and all those things combined to make the game look like it belongs in this current generation of hardware. We also went through and updated the controls, right, from a 72-key keyboard to a 16-button sure. controller. And that's quite a transition, so that took some time, but we came up with a really good one there. And then we decided to completely redo the UI. I know that when I play a console game that I know is a PC port and it has a PC UI, it feels awkward. And so we literally threw the entire UI away and built a new one from scratch for the PS4 and Xbox One. So that was where a lot of the development time went, was making these upgrades to really make it sing on this new generation of hardware.
Is it kind of hard to like rest on your laurels? The game's been out for a couple years, millions of players.
Sure.
Was it kind of hard to just be like, well, millions of people like it the way it is? Like how, you just laid out to me all the things that you guys did.
Yeah.
But what else did you do to make it like super PS4 friendly? Is it free to play?
100% free to play on both platforms. Free to download, no subscriptions. We don't charge for content updates. It is 100% free. So it's a pretty attractive package for anyone who wants to jump in. You get 6.5 years of content that have been, you know, proven and played by players on PC that is there for you on day one.
So for people that haven't played it, that have been living under a rock for the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, what are some of the things that you can do? Because, I mean, Star Trek is all about, you know, like away missions, on the ground, up in the air, all sorts of things. So lay out like what we can do.
So you can play as a Federation, a Klingon, or a Romulan. You go on episodes. We have 125 episodes in the game. That's more than any 5 seasons of Star Trek. You in those episodes, you have space and ground. So you'll take command of your ship, flying around in space, scanning, maybe fighting some guys. Then you'll beam down on an away mission. And you're getting a story the whole way. And we serialize our stories. So each episode leads into the next. So you're getting this long, really interesting, intricate story that takes place across the galaxy that you're a part of. We've got 15 voice actors from all across the different eras, and so they're there with you, like joining you on those adventures is a critical role.
So can you just lay out some of the characters that are in there? I know Denise Crosby, Tasha Yar is in there.
Yep. We've got Seven of Nine, got Worf, got Tuvok, got Neelix, got Harry Kim, got Chekhov, got Scotty, got Spock. We've got... more.
Okay.
There's a pile.
So in terms of like overall like playability, like the average person, if they just jump into this full force, how many hours do you think that they could spend playing this?
A lot. Oh my goodness. If they're just running through episodes, I don't want to get quoted on it, but it could be like 40 to 60 hours of just nonstop if you do nothing else. And there's tons of else to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then there's the whole end game. That's just getting to the max level. That doesn't include end game where you want to level up your reputations, you have a fleet, you know, that you're joining up. There is so much to do in this game. It's grown so much over the last 6.5 years.
All right, so I'll give you a hypothetical. Somebody comes, they're walking by here, and they kind of see the game, and you can sell them a little bit. Like, why should they play this game when it's released on Xbox?
Three reasons.
And PS4.
Three reasons. 100% free. There's no reason not to try it because it's literally free. Second, if you're here, you're a Star Trek fan. It doesn't get more Trek than this. It's continuing the adventures. We like to tie up the loose ends on episodes that from the past. Remember what would happen to those crazy aliens that Picard kind of saw and then left behind. And then last, the space combat. It's our kind of our crown jewels. What makes us unique, and it's so Star Trek, and it's incredibly fun. It's this tall ship style positional based combat.
So what makes the space combat sexy?
It's similar to the Star Trek show. It's all about positioning, so it's not the dogfighter combat. It's all about, you know, taking down enemy shields, and once that shield's down, dropping torpedoes in that nougaty center and popping that ship. Some of the battles can get pretty intense, can be pretty big. So, you know, a lot of times you could be with a bunch of NPCs, or you could be teamed up with a bunch of friendly players, and you could be working together to complete that mission.
So players that played on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, as you said before, they get 6 years of downloadable content all pushed into one. Are you guys planning any extra content once it's released on the PS4 and Xbox One?
Absolutely. We haven't announced, but we already have content updates in the pipeline for this. And of course, all the updates to make it to PC, we'll be making it to console as well. As always, 100% free.
All right. Anything else you want to say?
No. There's no reason not to download the game. If you want to have a great adventure in Star Trek Online, all you have to do is download it and play.